Friday's here. Time for Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, with your host, Reuben Truthmaker.
You can't handle the truth.
And Libby Streetwise.
Get out!
The phones are lighting up, and you guys are live.
That's right, Coastsiders. We are live. This is live radio. It's Friday, January 25, 2019. Rack up a bag of Ringer's Lactate and have a seat in the waiting room.
What?
It's time for some Coastal Windage. Wait, you guys never saw Emergency? Remember that old TV show?
Yeah.
And the two paramedics. We need some Ringer's Lactate and some D4W right now, stat. That's all they ever gave the
lactate.
People.
Ringer's Lactate. I know what lactate is.
It's some kind of clear liquid that goes in a bag that you hook up to an IV.
Yuck.
Stop.
Anyways, good morning, Coastsiders.
Good morning.
It's time for some Coastal Windage. I'm your co-host, Reuben Truthmaker, here with Livy Streetwise and Mr. Mojo Filters. As I mentioned there in the intro, this is live radio. We're here right now on the gleaming chrome and steel studios.
Castle here. On the hill.
Yes. for KHMB here on Main Street. The wind is blowing quite chilly this morning, but as we've discussed here, the weather patterns on the coast side, that may bode well for the afternoon. Usually I found when it's windy in the morning, the wind dies down in the afternoon. When it's calm in the morning, it picks up in the afternoon. So let's look forward to a windless, warm, and sunny afternoon. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast, the coast side's number one live call-in talk radio show. Every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., we're here talking to you on KHMB Radio 100.9 FM, 1710 a.m., and most importantly, streaming live on khmbradio.com, streaming live right now if you go to khmbradio.com, or you can download podcasts of our past shows from khmbradio.com. All right, as one of our listeners wrote in an email last week, we're always complaining that we're running out of time, so let's get right into it. We've got news and notes, as we always do, things
yes.
from around the coast side.
What
some
do we have?
Updates on past stories. We're also going to look at the future of Coastside Commerce. This is a topic that we didn't get to last week.
Okay.
Seton Coastside Hospital. There's been some important development on the status of that, an important institution here on the Coastside. And another topic we didn't get to last week, YY Youth Sports Travel Leagues.
Gosh, I didn't realize how much we didn't get to last week.
Well, I mean, there's a lot to...
There is a lot to say.
I mean, that's one of the reasons we have the show is, so we've got the paper that's once a week, but really what else is there? And there's a lot of stuff that happens here on the coast side.
Mm-hmm.
And so we thought we'd jump in the mix. So here we are.
All right.
All right. This part of the program is brought to you by Seacrest School.
Hi, folks. You know, Reuben and I are both working parents who are fortunate to be able to work from home, allowing us to drop off and pick up our children from school at times that are convenient to us. But this really isn't the case for most families. Seacrest School knows this and understands that childcare and transportation can be difficult issues for working families. That's why they are offering one of the few full-day junior kindergarten options on the Coastside. Coastside parents, your life is crazy enough without having to put your child in another year of preschool or take off work for a midday transitional kindergarten pickup.
Now, the Seacrest program is a full-week program for any student who will be 4 years old at the start of the next school year. Junior kindergarten acts as a bridge into kindergarten from preschool. The program is designed to create magical first experiences with school and inspire children to become compassionate, curious learners who are socially and academically ready for a strong start to kindergarten the next year. As you consider this big step in your child's life, consider the junior kindergarten available at Seacrest School with flexible schedule options, including partial and full days. Livy and I both have children at Seacrest, and we can both personally vouch for the excellent facilities, the wonderful community, and most of all, the incredible teachers and staff at Seacrest School. Go to SeacrestSchool.org today to learn more about the new junior kindergarten program at Seacrest School. All right.
Right.
Looks like we have a couple of emails that have come in.
Yes.
I'm a little...
Don't be jealous.
I am, because I noticed that the interns walked directly over to
yep.
you with the emails this morning.
Yep.
Somehow they're not being routed through me anymore. This makes me extremely nervous, but okay.
A few donuts will go a long way, Reuben. You can't not feed them forever.
Oh,
so
now,
I might have paid them off in donuts.
They have
morning.
A clothing stipend, and now they have a donut stipend. I mean, come on.
I'm just saying.
All right.
Okay, so we did. We got a couple. The first one's from Pablum's the Word. I don't know. How do we get these emailers with the craziest? I mean, whatever happened to ABC 123 three exclamation points?
Okay, I don't know. Now I predict that like next week we're gonna get, you know, like, yeah, 123 or something.
Okay, here we go. I was there last week at the Ted Adcock Center for the Dunes Beach protest. It was standing room only. I had tears in my eyes as I watched my fellow co-siders take their turn at the mic. What a special community we have where so many people care so much, and the council seemed to hear us. It was a great moment in co-side history. Wow.
Okay.
Well, that's kind of a glowing...
Yeah, it makes me wish more people would go to public meetings. I mean, if we had public meetings like that where there was 150 people and there was standing room only and people
yeah.
had tears in their eyes, oh my gosh, it'd be fun to go to some of these public meetings. But here's the thing. What did they say? It was the greatest moment in Coast Side history?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure we can officially dub it that.
And are you going to be the Coast Side historian?
Well,
who's going to document these?
Hopefully I'll live long enough to
moments.
Do so. I don't know if we can call it one of the greatest moments until we find out whether the project happened or not.
What the result is?
Yeah, yeah, okay. But the community has beat back two previous attempts to build hotels on the site, and it looks like they've got some good energy going to fight this one as well, so
yeah.
We'll see.
Do you want me to read? I did get another one. Do you want? Are we going to hang on to
I don't know. Am I going
to
like this one? Or?
I think so. I mean,
right.
It's very relevant. It's about the El Granada Medians.
All right.
Okay.
Go for
so
it.
So this one is from Flinchy McGee.
Oh, Flinchy.
Oh, Flinchy.
Dear.
This email is in regard to the discussion you had last week about developing the El Granada Medians. I can understand the liability concerns of the folks who live near the El Granada Medians, but why do people always throw up the homeless as a reason not to make infrastructure improvements? I don't think that this is a legitimate concern for people who live north of Strawflower Village. In all the years I have lived in El Granada, I have never seen a homeless person sleeping on a sidewalk, a bench, or anywhere out in the open. Denying the homeless a potential bench to sleep on or toilet to use by not building a playground or a pedestrian tunnel is really just denying ourselves those things which our community needs. Maybe we should give courage and generosity a chance rather than worrying about the theoretical boogeyman.
Wow. That was a pretty good
yeah.
email.
Well, I think there are a lot of good
yeah.
points to that.
Yeah.
That was a lot of good points to that.
But let me ask you this. I agree with this, with Flinchy. But in the real world, do courage and generosity stand a chance? I mean, I hate to get cynical on a Friday morning, but I mean, here we go. All right. Well, I guess I agree with, yeah, I mean, there's lots of good things in that email.
Yep.
It's hard to remember them all right now, but,
well, it's true. I mean, these people, I don't understand. We don't live in a bubble world. You know, I have to tell you, not to make it so catastrophic, but when 9/11 happened, you know, one of my good friends was from the Middle East. And I said to him, I'm like, what in God's name is happening to this world? He's like, the world is coming to us. This has been going on
uh-huh.
for as long as history has been taken. And we have just lived in this bubble world. Not that catastrophic things like that have to happen. But the point was that let's open our eyes, people. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this stuff has been going on for a while. And we have to be proactive. Can't close our eyes.
Okay.
Can't hide from things.
Yeah. All right. Well, there are very low numbers of homeless in the communities
yeah.
of the Mid-Coast. It's a bit of a problem in Princeton, but there's no services up in the Mid-Coast.
Take care of the issues that we have.
So I just, I'm not sure if the homeless should be a reason to do or not do anything on the Mid-Coast. All right. We've got an update on the giant roadway through the Pillar Point Bluffs. We mentioned on our January 5th show that some coastsiders are bummed out that the San Mateo County Parks Development has developed, or in some people's minds, overdeveloped, a previously rustic two-track lane on the Pillar Point Bluffs into a veritable superhighway. Now, our friends at Coastal Buzz, the Coastal Butterfly, let us know that this improvement was done specifically for emergency vehicle access, not for ADA requirements or the Maverick Surf Contest. We appreciate that info from Coastside Buzz. But we still are going to call overkill on this one. I'd really like to see some numbers on how many situations requiring emergency vehicle access we've had out there over the last 10 years and whether the existing road would have sufficed for whatever emergency action was needed.
I don't even know where this is. Where is this?
You know, the Pillar Point Bluffs between the golf ball and Seal Cove neighborhood.
Right? Where's the road? I know.
By the tower.
Okay, got it.
Well, go and check it out now. You can't miss it.
Okay.
So here's the update. A poster on Nextdoor pointed out that the fill used to cover the newly graded roadbed. So you grade out the roadbed and then you put down some crushed DG or something on top of it. Well, apparently this fill is chock full of, it's unclean fill. You always see these signs that say clean fill wanted. Well, this fill includes pieces of bricks, marble, porcelain, fiberglass, and plastic.
That is fantastic.
Plastic.
That is,
I mean, on the Pillar Point Bluffs, plastic in the fill. Gee, where's that plastic going to go? Right into the ocean.
You know who we should have to talk about that coming up even in the spring is Shell Cleave from Sea Hugger. You know,
Maybe we need to have somebody from San Mateo County Parks.
Well, that too.
Come and talk
about
that.
Could have standing room only here.
Because the poster mentioned that he was concerned that a project of this scope in a coastal habitat, a prominent coastal habitat like that, maybe should have some better oversight.
You think?
It's his belief, and he looked at these materials. He posted pictures of them. He had them all laid out of the things he had found. It's his belief that the materials he found are from fill that may have been sourced from recycled construction or demo debris. And that's really what it sounds like with the pieces that he found and laid out. And in my opinion, that would be something to hold somebody accountable for. You're going to put road fill on Pillar Point Bluffs and you use demo debris?
Yeah.
Yikes.
That's really not good.
It was probably free, which doesn't really end up being free.
Well,
exactly.
It's unconscionable, and I'm going to use that word several times today, to put dirty fill for the roadbed on Pillar Point Bluffs. Okay, we've got some updates on the problems that we reported at the new gym. Last week, we noted that the new gym had been closed for the last 2 weeks, and there was no news in the paper or announcement from the school district or on their website. We had an email from a source that says the cause of the closure was, quote, an oil leak. So we called CUSD because that's what we do. We're in the we're kind of in the journalism. We're quasi journalistic.
You are.
Yeah.
I don't know about Mojo and us. We just show up with coffee.
We called the school district last week and we got a response back from Kathy, the maintenance and operations department. Kathy, tip of the hat. Thank you for getting back to us. And she explained that it was closed during Christmas time to refinish the floors. It's a relatively new gym. The floors are very nice, so they want to keep them nice. So they closed it off to refinish the floors. And she mentioned that a winch, I'm not sure what winch, maybe to lower in the baskets or something, had leaked a little bit of oil. And so they wanted to make sure that they fixed that oil leak and cleaned up any leaked oil. And that's what they were doing last week. So everything is now up and running at the new gym.
Okay.
Practices and games are going on there. And good for that. No worries about mold or anything there at the new gym. All good.
Great.
Okay, before we go to commercial break here,
yeah.
I was talking about unconscionable. I just want to say the federal shutdown has hit its second paycheck today, and I think that is really the unit of measure that we need to use when we refer to this federal shutdown. Days, months, I hope it doesn't go to months, but days are not as important as paychecks. These federal employees have now missed their second paycheck. Two paychecks. That's a month's worth of pay. That's a month's rent, groceries, whatever. Two paychecks. As I said before, I'm going to use this word a couple times. Truly unconscionable. This should never happen. The federal government is not a political pawn. It is not to be used this way. It is an important vehicle for this country, and it should not be thrown around like this. Real people are being hurt by these actions, and I'll just say as a quick anecdote, my parents were not federal employees, but they were lifetime public civil servants. They could have gone into private practice and made money for themselves, but they both came from an era of service to the country and your community. My mom was a public health nurse for 40 years, working in the most low-income communities of San Diego, helping people who couldn't afford health care. My dad was a juvenile probation officer, working with children and their families who are having problems with the law and abuse and things like that. These are hard, low-paying jobs, but they did it because they were serving their community and society. And that's what federal employees are doing. Anybody that wants to shrink the size of government, it employs millions of people. So would you say to a large company, we shouldn't have a large company that's employing millions of people? I don't think so. You get out of things what you put into it, and we are starving our federal government right now. And we are hurting the people that have dedicated their lives to serving that and helping us. And it's just truly unconscionable. There are two men right now with the power to end this today that could happen. Let's not get into that. But it could happen today if two men would.
And mind you, a lot of these people are working currently with no paycheck. These TSA folks, they're being expected to show up without a paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And people are annoyed that they're there. And I really?
Yeah.
Why are you annoyed at them?
They're not
getting paid.
I will say this. We had a conversation around the dinner table last night, and this is nothing against these employees. This is, in fact, sympathetic with them. I'm not flying for at least a month or so after this shutdown is over.
Me either. Yeah.
It is not safe, and it is not because of the individuals. The stresses that are put on them and the level of attention that these jobs require, it's not safe.
No.
And I'm not flying. And if the other people stop flying, this economy is just going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so local businesses are trying to help out. We did a topic a couple weeks ago about what the shutdown looks like on the coast. Well, local businesses are trying to help out in various ways. Half Moon Bay Coffee Company on Main Street in the Stone Pine Center is offering a free meal to federal employees who show their ID. Playtime Indoor Play Place in the Princeton Mall is offering free admission to the children of federal furloughed employees. San Mateo County Transit District, which is SamTrans, buses, and Caltrain, is providing free bus and train rides throughout its service areas to all federal government employees affected by the shutdown, and this will last for the duration of the shutdown. Half Moon Bay Brewing Company is providing $25 gift cards to any federal employees or contractors who have been furloughed, not for alcoholic drinks, though, unfortunately. Sam's Chowder House has a free furlough Friday three-course menu offer. So,
wow, great.
So, I noticed New Leaf, 15% off if you got the ID.
That's terrific.
Okay, yeah. So that really is heartwarming to see local businesses.
Yep. And if we missed any, please call let us know, because we'd love to give these companies shout-outs that are helping out.
Or if you have a story about a person that you know that's furloughed, or if you yourself, give us a call, 560-9851. We need to hear the personal stories on this. This is real. It's affecting real people. This is not a theoretical, political, or governmental exercise. All right, we got to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to dive into this super blood wolf moon thing. Whoa. I mean, this is.
Are you going to give a howl?
I may give a choke on these names. All right, I'll get into that when we come back from our commercial break. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.
Hello, I'm Susan Ackerman, and I live down on the South Coast, and I come to Granola's, have coffee with my friends, have their incredibly delicious quiche, and have their gluten-free pastries.
Every morning I know when I hear the rooster crow, that it's time, that is Java drinking time. Up and out of those beds, you sleepy little heads, waking up, breaking up, pour some Java in the cup. So I'm out of that bed with a cock-a-doodle-doo, with a cup in my hand and a foot in my shoe. It's a wonderful thing what the Java can do. It can do. Gotta drink it real straight if you want to percolate. Drink it right, never right, gotta have a little bite. But the Java's no fun if you gotta drink and run, 'cause you're late for the date. Seems you always make him wait.
Granola's Coffee House is located at 116 North Cabrillo Highway, next to BK Motors and Half Moon Bay.
If you have recently moved here, let us welcome you to our lovely Coastside community. On behalf of Shepherd Family Dentistry, this is Brian Shepherd with a personal invitation. If you are in need of dental services, we would love to meet you. For over 30 years, the Shepherd family has been serving residents with a number of different services, including routine cleanings, implants, root canals, and one-day crowns. We are located at 890 Main Street in Half Moon Bay. You can reach us at 726-3355. Come in and pay us a visit. We will make you feel right at home. Or you can pay us a visit at our website, shepherddentists.com.
Shepherd Family Dentistry, 890 Main Street. phone 726-3355. Shepherd Family Dentistry.
Where we bring your smile to life.
All right, and we're back. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. If you want to get in on this conversation, and I know you do, Coastsiders, give us a call, 560-9851. We'll take your call. We'll talk to you. Or send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com, as several of you do each week. Okay, Super Blood Wolf Moon. This happened this past Sunday night when it was cloudy and rainy and stormy. All right, what the heck is a super blood wolf moon? Okay, a super moon is a moon that occurs when moon is closest to the Earth, making it appear larger than usual. A blood moon is a total lunar eclipse when the Earth comes between the sun and the moon. And a wolf moon is the first full moon of the year. All right, so that explains it. It was cloudy on Sunday, but I was up at 3 a.m. doing what I do, and I happened to look out the window just as the clouds parted. I saw a super wolf moon. I didn't see any blood on it, though. So I could not find when the next super blood wolf moon is, in case you missed it on Sunday. But the next total lunar eclipse will be on May 26, 2021. So set your calendars there. Here's an interesting thing that happened during the super wolf blood blood moon night. While everybody was checking out this rare moon, a meteorite hit the moon.
I heard about that.
How cool is that?
Yes, it clearly is end of days. I mean, it also hailed.
I gotta go.
Yeah.
Was Bruce Willis up there for that?
It hailed. You saw the hail, right?
Yeah.
Well, it accumulated.
That night, stuff was hitting windows in our house that rain and hail never hit because the wind was blowing it sideways.
Yeah.
I mean, it was coming and hitting windows that never get hit.
Did you see the frogs dropping down from the sky?
No. But do you remember, I think you and I were talking, my trash can was blowing up up my hill. 22-degree hill is going up.
But they're just making these names up, right? I mean, super blood wolf moon. Last February, the other dude and I went round these about these superhero moons, because that time it was the super blue blood moon. Do you know there's also a worm moon, a sturgeon moon, a pink moon? Apparently each month has a specific moon associated with it. So January is the wolf moon. All right.
Okay.
San Mateo County Superior Court is looking for grand jurors. Now, this is kind of interesting. The county is now accepting applications to serve on its civil grand jury. Now, the civil grand jury provides a citizen watchdog function over city and county government. Grand jury selects its own subjects to investigate, and it publishes reports with findings and recommendations. The term for this grand jury will be July 1st, 2019 to June 30th, 2020, so a one-year term. It's a volunteer position that requires 15 to 20 hours a week.
What?
How much does it pay?
It's a volunteer position.
Zero.
And I'm just wondering.
I just wanted to make sure that was clear.
Yeah.
Who can do this?
I can't.
The crazy people.
Oh, so it sounds like I should have a lot of confidence in our grand jury then. Well, here's the thing, folks. If you feel like there's something wrong with your local government, with county government, this is the place to get involved, because this is kind of the watchdog function, kind of an oversight situation. All right, get involved. You can go to sanmateocourt.org for more information. This is interesting. There's a new girls-only scouts troop on the coast side. Now, the organization was formerly called the Boy Scouts of America, but it was integrated a couple years ago. It's now called Scouts BSA. And as part of its program to include girls, Scouts BSA is offering girls a path to Eagle Scout through gender-separate but equal troops. Now, let me just pause for a second
good
and say
Lord.
That. Separate but equal is not a phrase with a good history in the United States.
No.
So I don't really understand the lawsuits and everything that were done to integrate girls into scouting, but then they're going to have their own separate troops.
I think everyone was, I mean, wasn't everyone just happy the way it was? It seems like the Girl Scouts were happy being Girl Scouts, weren't they?
Boy Scouts had some issues with having some problems with gay people.
Well, that I know, but I'm talking about just integrating the I know. Like having, I mean, are the boys going into the Girl Scouts?
I heard the Girl Scouts of America was not too happy about it. No, they're not.
Okay.
And
so
other countries, the Scouts are integrated in the
totally
same troop.
Are.
So I'm all for bringing girls into Scouts BSA, but why
exactly? It's
girls,
like,
girls separate.
Why couldn't
separate
they just join?
But equal troops? That that doesn't ring well with me. Okay.
But leave it to us. Leave it to us to make it complicated.
America?
Not this station.
Yeah. America.
America.
Yeah.
Every other country in the world literally has figured this out, and it has been a no-brainer, not a problem.
But that's what makes us special.
Leave it to us.
All right. Here's our air quality report. We get this info from airnow.gov. It's 48 in Half Moon Bay and Moss Beach. 0 to 50 is good, so we're in the good range. Interestingly, it's 15 in Redwood City right now. And one thing that we've been seeing since we've been doing this air quality report is that Redwood City consistently has better air quality than the coast side.
Okay.
That's very surprising
so,
to me.
I, a couple years ago, I did some research into the air quality here. You know what's in our air that really isn't good?
Salt?
No. It's all the spray that goes on all the ag stuff, all the fertilizer.
Oh, pesticide.
Super
vapor.
High.
That's
super
not
high.
Surprising,
no,
yeah.
No. So do a little research if you want to know what's in our air.
Yeah.
Do I want to know?
You probably do.
Between
yeah.
us stepping on fiberglass
know.
On
yeah.
Killer Point
yeah.
and
yeah.
breathing the asbestos no. in the air, we're in good shape out here.
That's,
this
I mean,
is awesome.
This is fertilizer heaven right here.
That's fantastic.
All right. We got another email here. This has come in from Brain Shart. Brain Shart writes, "Why do we need another bathroom at Surfers Beach?" This is last week we talked
yes.
about the bathroom situation and how there's supposed to be a public bathroom at Surfers Beach, but it's been closed down by the RV park. Okay, so Brain Shart writes, "Why do we need another bathroom at Surfers Beach? The surfers use the ocean and everybody else
oh
uses the
God.
Trees on the other side of the highway."
I can't.
You nailed it, Brain Shart. Apparently the county and the city and the harbor district are fine with this arrangement, so why fix what ain't broke?
Okay. Either I need to step on a soapbox or just step away from the mic.
When you have injustice that is obvious to people, such as this land, this business owner getting this sweetheart deal of a lease and then shutting down the public bathrooms, you generate this type of cynicism. And it's kind of a funny email, but it's, to me, just really cynical of like, you know, everybody's fine with this, so let's just keep doing that.
Ignorant?
It does seem that the authorities are fine with people just going wherever they can.
This is so gross. So gross.
Where do the authorities expect people to go? Where have they been going for the past 20 years
exactly.
since this public bathroom's been closed down?
Yeah.
Exactly where Brain Shart said. The ocean and the trees.
That's
okay.
Great.
Let's take another quick break. Actually, you know what? Let's just keep going. Let's just keep rolling. We never have enough time, so let's just roll. This is Coastal
okay.
Windage. Give us a call, 560-9851, or send us an email at coastalwindage@gmail.com. Okay, the future of coastside commerce. We didn't get to this last time. Let's see if we can talk about this. You sent me, Livy, an article about how another Bay Area Macy's is closing down.
And yeah.
It's like large department stores. The big retailers are really
yeah.
suffering. Sears is in its death throes.
Yeah.
70% of U.S. consumers now shop online. Does this have any relevance to what's to our lives here on the coastside? Sure, if we're traveling over the hill and we want to go to a big box store, I guess, or a Macy's, I guess this, or a Sears, I guess this affects this. But here on the coastside, we don't have those things. So what is the future of coastside commerce? In my opinion, it's kind of like what's old is new again. There's a future for brick and mortar stores. And I think that the business community is kind of seeing that. It's a place to get something right now, right? Okay, so even with Amazon next day delivery, sometimes you need that widget today. And where,
yeah.
if there's not a brick and mortar store, how can you do that? I did some research. Urgent trips, well, however you want to define urgent trips, now account for 61% of top shopping trips, urgent trips being what we said, I need that widget today for this project or whatever. 61% of shopping trips. And they are important because it's a place to touch, feel, weigh things, try things on first. There's a real person to talk to.
That discounts like supermarkets, correct? Or no, would that be inclusive?
I think it's inclusive.
Okay.
You know, you need
right.
a stock of celery or something,
yeah.
right? It's also a place to go when the internet goes down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's another show.
So with this, will we be seeing kind of a new wave of smaller specialty stores? Well, it turns out that drug, dollar, and convenience stores outgrew large format stores by 400% in 2016. So the big stores like a Walmart or a department store, something like that, are getting crushed by these trips of convenience stores, drug, dollar, and convenience stores. The other thing is big companies can afford to the IT resources to have a great website and distribution system, whereas, small, private owner, mom and pa, they used to call it, type of shop, doesn't necessarily have the experience, the expertise, or the finances to run a good IT or distribution system.
It's true. I mean, Walmart is a perfect example of that because they have come full circle. And if you have seen their commercials recently, it's all about online shopping. Yeah. Amazon has really led the pack in this. And now they're having a number of competitors that didn't even exist in that market before. Target is raising the ante also. They're also doing delivery systems and Walmart, and I think there's another one. But you're right. I mean, they do have the money to back them and their websites and all that.
Okay, so we're going to this all online thing, but again, it seems to me that there is a need and a benefit for brick and mortar. And in fact, an article in the publication BizNow in May 2018 reports that to compete with online retailers, large retailers are opening smaller footprint locations to offer, quote, the convenience and instant gratification that e-commerce can't. So again, this like, I gotta have it now thing. So big retailers like Target and stuff are now opening little smaller stores. It seemed like 5 or 10 years ago, the trend was towards these huge, bigger and bigger and bigger stores. Now, because of the online thing, we're going to be seeing smaller and smaller.
Have you seen any of those? I haven't seen those.
I have not seen them, but this is a real thing. And the business world, these are called sub-markets now.
Hmm.
Used to be that the demographic requirement for a market area was about, for a large corporate entity to be interested, you needed about 50,000 people in a population area. Now companies are looking at 125,000. So when we look at the coast side here, where we've got 30,000 total from Montero to Pescadero. I mean, we've got a CVS here, we've got a Safeway, but I guess what I'm saying is don't look for a big box or a Target to come anytime soon. Although it's possible maybe we get one of these sub-market things if that's what people want. But I think the opportunity that we have out here is for the brick-and-mortar stores. Okay, so what does the future of coastside commerce look like? Right now, it's not trending in a way that I am hoping because we're seeing larger resort hotels coming in. The Oceano, there's a Hyatt proposed for the end of Main Street here. The Dunes Beach Project is a big resort. So is that the future of coastside commerce? Are big box stores the future? You know, we're never going to hit the 125,000 mark, but will big box be coming in with these sub-market, smaller big box stores?
I don't know. I mean, aren't there specific, codes or zoning issues because we don't have any brand name stores. Like Taco Bell was allowed next to Pete's. Like we have that, and we have Rite Aid, and we have Safeway. But downtown, there's nothing. They're all mom and pop shops.
Downtown, but Strawflower Village and the New Leaf Shopping Center. Shoreline Station, whatever. I'm sure there's zoning opportunities if a retailer wanted to come in. What about, you see in these communities like this that are small, outlet malls. I mean, holy no. I hope that wouldn't happen, that's a possibility. But, and I've complained about this myself, and I know other people have, that shopping is hard in Half Moon Bay. I mean, there's no place to buy sporting goods.
Right.
There's no place to buy musical instruments or supplies.
Mm-hmm.
There's hardly any place to get real office supplies.
Mm-hmm.
So these are voids in our commercial opportunities. And I've complained about that. And I've complained that when you go on Main Street, there's just these little tourist boutiques and there's nothing for the people that live here. But is that really the only thing that could survive in this town? Are these little tourist boutiques Well, we don't have the population to support the even a submarket big box store. I don't think we have the population to support it.
Are you saying you want like a Walmart here?
No.
Okay. Absolutely.
I'm saying that it may happen. I mean,
yeah, I don't think we'd let it in, honestly.
I think that in order to celebrate and encourage brick and mortar, mom and pop, really great stores downtown, that there has to be a little bit of wiggle room and flexibility with these landlords and the rent that they are asking for. I mean, there are a number of spots, key spots downtown that are still empty and have been for a number of years. And I don't know how some of these stores continue to keep their doors open because I'm not seeing a whole lot of traffic, and I can only imagine what the rent is. And, you know, I really feel, and even in Strawflower, and I've said it before, I don't know how Jamba Juice could have been kicked out of Strawflower and a cigarette discount store is open. How does that happen? And who is thinking that that's an okay idea? I mean, why can't we make those folks, why can't we make that work? And, you know, all our stores, we should have 100% capacity downtown with really good, solid shops. People come here from all over.
What is the future of Coastside Commons? Like, what is going to work? Because those shops, those kinds of shops have been here for years, and are we seeing economic growth? The only economic development or direction that I'm seeing is a troubling one for me, which is to just double down on the tourist trade with these big resort hotels and other tourist-facing stuff. When, as I mentioned, there's three sporting goods, musical instruments, office supplies.
You can't
get those on the coast. So is the coastside population so small and so in such close proximity to other retail situations that we'll never have a fully fledged retail situation here on the coast, that the only economic development we have to look forward to in the future is tourist-based?
Well, I have to mention that two of my favorite places are the Lumberyard, which is an excellent...
Which one?
Big Creek?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, they have been able to order me anything. Like, I have some brackets I needed made. And I think the hardware place...
I was going to say that, too. They do have things for musical instruments.
The beauty of a small hardware store is that usually the people know how to, you know, like...
Tailor.
Use the tool, right?
Yeah.
I need to fix this plumbing, or I have a water problem. And it's the expertise of the people that they hire is, I think, sometimes what you're looking for.
And they've also increased their inventory, I think, they're very receptive to feedback on what people need and want. I mean, now they have like a full, the clothing line.
Carhartt. Yeah.
That's
really nice. And
boots,
they have surfboards.
And shoes. They have surfboards.
Boogie boards. That's all new.
And they do have some school supplies, not a whole lot, there's an opportunity there.
The electronics place over there, the Strawflower Electronics. Yeah. They have a keyboards, kind of beginner guitars.
All right. So I forgot one thing when we were talking about the future direction of commerce here. We've got tourism. We've got cannabis. Cannabis is coming. But as I think somebody, we had an emailer last week, what about industrial hemp? All right, people are bunched up on cannabis. Some people, you know, really have a problem with it. But what about industrial hemp? I mean, there are so many uses for that. To me, if you're listening out there, that is the product of the future. It's going to come back. 200 years ago, it was a staple crop, an important product in American commerce. It's coming back because it has so many uses. All right, let's pay some bills here. This part of the program is brought to you by Seacrest School.
Hello, folks. It's me, Livia, again. You know, Ruben and I are both working parents who are fortunate enough to be able to work from home, which allows us to drop off and pick up our children from school at times that are convenient for us. But this really isn't the case for most families. Seacrest School knows this and understands that childcare and transportation can be difficult issues for working families. That's why they are offering one of the few full-day junior kindergarten options on the Coastside. Coastside parents, your life is crazy enough without having to put your child in another year of preschool or take off work for a midday transitional kindergarten pickup.
Don't I know it? Well, the Seacrest program is a full week program for any student who will be 4 years old at the start of next school year. Junior kindergarten acts as a bridge into kindergarten from preschool. The program is designed to create magical first experiences with school and inspire children to become compassionate, curious learners who are socially and academically ready for a strong start to kindergarten the next year. As you consider this big leap in your child's life, consider the junior kindergarten available at Seacrest School with flexible schedule options, including partial and full days. Livy and I both have children at Seacrest, and we can both personally vouch for the excellent facilities, the wonderful community, and most of all, the incredible teachers and staff at Seacrest School. Go to SeacrestSchool.org today to learn more about the new junior kindergarten program at Seacrest School. All right, Coastsiders, switching topics here. Don't let the cold and flu season get you down this year. You guessed it.
Copper Zap time.
The simple, sustainable solution for preventing colds and flu. Copper Zap is a small copper device that uses the conductive power of copper to kill viruses and bacteria with their own electrical current. Not only does it kill cold and flu germs, Livy, it kills all microbes, bacteria, viruses, antibiotic-resistant bacteria, fungus. It works on cold sores and sinus congestion, too. Now, it really works because copper is naturally antimicrobial, as confirmed by the Environmental Protection Agency. So skip the missed work days and the gross medicines and the stress of being sick. Go to copperzap.com right now and get your CopperZap today. And when you go to copperzap.com to get yours today, and I know that you will, enter the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, when you order, and get $10 off each CopperZap device you purchase. That's CopperZap.com. All right, 650-560-9851 is the number to call, coastalwindage@gmail.com. Let's talk about Seton Coastside Hospital.
Okay.
All right. Just in case you're new to the area or maybe you're extremely healthy, there is an actual hospital here on the Coastside in Moss Beach on Etheldor. Seton Coastside is a 116-bed skilled nursing facility with five general beds and a 24/7 emergency room. Now, this is not a trauma center.
Right.
It's an emergency room with a licensed physician on site 24/7. But I've been there at 3 in the morning and had to roust the doctor from his cot. So,
yeah.
You know, it's not like going to the Kaiser in Redwood City, but there is an emergency room with a doctor on site, and I have had to go there several times in my child's early years at 3 in the morning. Okay, but Coastsiders, this is the concerning thing, many concerning things about this topic. This is the only 24/7 medical treatment facility of any kind, including urgent care, between Daly City and Santa Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long stretch of highway with very narrow, constricted access points. So that's concerning. So what's happening with Seton Coastside? Well, on January 18th, KPC Group, a parent company of KPC Healthcare, which operates seven hospitals in Southern California, made a $610 million bid to buy four hospitals from the Verity Health Organization. Let me just stop and say that anytime you're dealing with one of these hospitals as the Verity Health, they've set up many different corporate entities to manage these hospital systems. And to me, when you have parent companies stacked on top of organizational companies stacked on top of management company, that's all overhead that takes away, that adds to the cost of things and takes away from the product. Okay. $70 million of this $610 million bid is allocated for Seton Coastside and Seton Medical Center.
Okay.
So they're going to buy four hospitals, or they're bidding for two of which are Seton Coastside and Daly City. I mean, Seton Medical Center, Daly City, Seton Coastside here. If we back up a little bit, we find that in September, Verity Healthcare, which is the current owner, filed for bankruptcy, claiming more than $1 billion in bond debt and unfunded pension liability and aging infrastructure. And you know what I have to say to that?
Uh-oh.
Yada, yada. They knew that going into the deal, and in my opinion, bankruptcy and sell-off was the intent all along, because Verity Health is owned by Integrity Healthcare LLC, which is owned by Blue Mountain Capital Management.
Wow.
Now, when you get up to a capital management company, Are they in the hospital business?
No.
Are they in the serving people business? You know what kind of business they're in?
Money.
Yeah, assets. They're in buying companies and breaking them down and selling off the assets, or squeezing what they can out of them till they no longer produce the money, and then filing bankruptcy and selling off the assets. And guess what's happening? They filed for bankruptcy. So, in my opinion, that was the intent all along. It's interesting to note that Blue Mountain Capital Management is currently waging a proxy war on PG&E's board in an attempt to replace all board 10 board members there. I won't say that I fully understand what's going on with that, but Blue Mountain has its little fingers in a lot of pies right now, and it's got its fingers in our pie here on the coast side, which is Seton Coast Side Hospital. This whole sell-off potential bankruptcy has been entirely predictable from the moment the Daughters of Charity, who used to own Seton Coastside, declared their intention to sell in 2014. I went to the meetings, the public meetings that were here on the Coastside in 2014 when they were Daughters of Charity were looking for buyers. The state attorney general's office came and heard testimony. There was a line of people out the door for a couple of hours at Seton Coastside giving testimony about how we need this hospital. At that time, Kamala Harris was the state attorney general, and she understood the situation. And the first bidder for this hospital in 2014 was Prime Healthcare. And she understood what they were looking to do, declare bankruptcy and part out the assets. And so she mandated that the hospital has to stay open for 10 years.
Really?
And so, of course, Prime Healthcare backed out of that. Why would they back out of that if they intended to be here for the long run? Because they didn't. So then Blue Mountain came in, and they balked at the same 10-year requirement, but eventually agreed to do it. And here we are. We're not even 5 years in, and they're already declaring bankruptcy and selling off the assets. So it's really it's something Coastsiders to be concerned of. This hospital could go away.
Well, honestly, I will say that, ironically, I was just talking to a friend of mine who said to me, you know, I think I need to get an x-ray, and I don't feel like going over the hill. I really have to get it done today. Thought there was something wrong, obviously. And I said, well, the closest place is Seton. I'm like, you could just go and get her done. It didn't even occur.
No, I don't think you can do that. You can't.
I've done it.
You have? You've gotten an x-ray there?
Yep.
Just a general x-ray?
Yeah.
Oh,
because
okay.
My son, when he, the doctor thought he might have pneumonia, he had to get a chest x-ray. And we went right there.
This was through the ER?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So executives from Verity Health and from the hospital itself have made very tepid, lukewarm entities to the community. They've come to like the Midcoast Community Council and made promises about community outreach and how much money they're going to invest in the community and everything. And yet, we don't see that. These seem like hollow statements when not even 5 years into it, they're already declaring bankruptcy and selling off. They never had a plan to do anything to all this investment they were going to do. They haven't done, and in my opinion, they never had a plan to do. This has been a completely disingenuous situation from the beginning, and it was obvious and predictable. What's going to happen out here on the coast side if we have something involving more than 5 or 10 injured people?
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Okay, we have a lot of disaster preparedness that seems to be going on. They were doing stuff at the airport, doing stuff at the tunnel. We have various groups around here. But the elephant in the room is there's nowhere to take injured people.
No, there isn't.
The disaster preparedness plans do not address where are we going to triage people? I guess at the airport or something, but there's not a building there. I mean,
we do have a full access road at Pillar Point now.
Yeah.
with fiberglass and.
Right.
If
there's an accident at Seal Cove, we can get them down to the parking lot at the golf ball really easy.
Great.
I have had conversations with Supervisor Horsley before, and in response to my direct comment on this subject, that on a busy coastside weekend, what are we going to do if there's a medical emergency? And his response is, well, that we can just life flight them out.
Oh,
and
that's great.
Unless we have like 40 life flight helicopters and places to take people, you know, helipads on 40 different hospitals, what is going to happen if there's, you know,
a massive something
with more than 500 or 1,000 people. All right. He has also told me that the county has no interest, zero, in no uncertain terms. The county has no interest in buying or operated Seton Coastside, which is disappointing, especially since they have already spent or committed tens of millions to Seton Medical and Daly City for seismic upgrades, and they were also kind of supplementing the operating budget for Seton Coastside for a long time, too. So the county has already poured millions into this facility. All right, so what can we do about it? What can be done? Real quick, there's something called a LAFCO Healthcare District. LAFCO is an independent commission in each county with jurisdiction over special district. A special district is an agency of the state that can provide governmental services such as sewer, water, fire protection, health care. So that's a possibility. There are 76 current health care districts in California in 37 of the 58 counties in both urban and rural situations. Some but not all receive property tax. I happened to ask the CEO of Verity when they came to make a public comment what this person thought of a LAFCO health care district, and the person pretended or apparently did not even know what that was. So there's not a lot of effort being made to solve this problem. A corporation could purchase it, a nonprofit could purchase it, but I don't know how anybody runs a hospital anymore these days. Daughters of Charity was losing $10 million a month when they sold it in 2014. Okay.
Yes?
I'm going to attempt to be a millennial here. Here we go.
We have got to take a break, dude. Can we break here?
Sure. Okay. I don't want to take a break, but
I know you
don't.
Got
to pay bills. Okay.
I know.
Come right back, Coastsiders. We'll be right back after this commercial. Coastal Windage.
Have a spare room? HIP Housing is a trusted local nonprofit that has provided housing and home sharing services in San Mateo County since 1972. Our home sharing program helps match home providers, someone who owns or rents a place and who has extra space available in their place of residence, with someone who is looking for housing. HIP Housing offers a safer approach to finding renters than similar services, since we provide a wealth of resources, such as personal home sharing coordinators, interviewing and screening, home visits, and follow-up support. We also offer a one-time $250 incentive to home providers 90 days after a housemate moves in. Using HIP services is completely free. There is no income requirement. Our program is open to individuals who live, work, or go to school in San Mateo County. Visit HIPHousing.org to learn more. That's HIPHousing.org. Or call 650-348-6660 to get started.
This is Ginger Minoletti from Bay World Travel. Our team of experienced, well-traveled professionals are here to help you. We're committed to providing you with the best recommendations and travel planning based on your desired goals and expectations. Our travel advisors utilize their personal relationships with travel partners around the world to maximize the value you gain from planning with us. We specialize in unique experiences and are here to help you plan the dream trip you've always wanted to take. Our mission is to make your travel seamless and memorable so you can relax and enjoy the journey. We've been serving the Coastside for over 30 years and are here for you before, during, and after your travel. So start working on your bucket list and call us today for an appointment at 726-7345 or visit us online at bayworldtravel.com.
Okay, we're back. I'm going post-millennial here with 11 shocking Coppers app features.
Whoa.
These are, I guess, the top 11 reasons why you should get a Coppers app device today. Coppers app is the antimicrobial solution that uses the conductive power of copper to kill microbes before you get sick. So, 11 shocking Coppers app features. 1, kills all microbes, including bacteria, viruses, and fungus. 2, made of 100% pure copper. 3 fits easily in your pocket. 4 fits easily in your carry-on bag, as my Grenada story related. 5 requires no power source. 6 never expires, runs out, or degrades. 7 made in the USA. 8 it has good heft. It's 100% copper. It's got a nice feel to it. 9 it's simple to use. 10 it's non-pharmaceutical. And the most important reason, number 11, it works. All right, go to coppersapp.com to learn more about this. Go there today. And when you are ready to buy, enter the code RADIO, R-A-D-I-O, when you order and get $10 off each Coppers App device you purchase. That's coppersapp.com. All right.
I love that your mom called last week.
I know.
Totally unprompted, folks. Like, you were even surprised.
I was. It was her birthday, and she's
so
a Coppers
cool.
App user.
That's great.
Thank you, Mom. All right. We have an email from listener The Middle Panel. The Middle Panel writes, my dad always told me that if I ever had a medical emergency... Okay, this is about, I guess, our last...
Yeah.
Oh, this email just came in. Yeah, my dad always told me that if I ever had a medical emergency, I should just go right to a fire station. They have trained first responders there. They can transport you quickly to a hospital if need be, and they have no way to charge for their services. So if the county and the investment firms and the billionaires can't figure out how to keep a hospital open here on the coastside to serve all the tourists and new residents they keep building stuff for, then I guess that's what we'll all have to do. Fire stations, the new ERs.
Wow. I hadn't thought of that. Well, we are building this brand spanking new firehouse in El Granada.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to have a waiting room.
An ER.
Yeah.
Right. Are they giving out flu shots? What? Did I just say that?
Flu shots. Libby, you're killing me. You're killing me with the flu shots.
Coppers apps for everyone.
Okay, super fast. Speed round. Why competitive travel leagues for U Sports? All right. So these competitive travel leagues, it used to be, you know, it was kind of a seasonal round of sports. You played basketball in the wintertime, football in the fall, baseball in the spring. Volleyball is what, a spring sport, a fall sport?
Actually, where I'm from, it was winter.
Winter, okay. So you had these seasonal rounds, and kids could play those sports and then move on to the next sport. Well, in the last 10 or 20 years, with the way that professional sports have just become so outrageously profitable, and we've got a phone call, okay, well, let's put that on hold while we go to our caller. This is Ruben Truthmaker, Libby Streetwise, and Mr. Mojo Filters on Coastal Windage. Who have we got?
Hi, it's Maria Holloman speaking. I was just listening to your broadcast at the moment, and I just think that a lot of people should take it on themselves to learn to teach themselves first aid or go to classes. First aid.
Good point, Maria.
They need to know what to do in a disaster, and you know, 911 can't be everywhere. You need to be able to at least help your family members, and at least one person in every family should know first aid.
Agreed.
Great advice, Maria. Where are you calling from this morning?
From El Granada.
Great. Okay. And are you trained in CPR and first aid yourself?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And are you the representative in your family, or is everybody in your family trained up?
Everybody's trained up. Even my son, who is 10 years old, goes to walk into the school. He knows first aid as well. So he would be able to, in any disaster, be able to stop bleeding or just basics to be able to just support life until somebody else arrives.
Fantastic. Words of wisdom.
Right.
That
so, Maria, that is great advice. I mean, at some level, and living out here on the coastside, you kind of need to take personal responsibility for the situation. I mean, and in addition to having somebody in the household that knows these first aid skills, it's probably a good idea to stock up on some supplies, too. You know, medical supplies, but also food and water. Maria, thank you.
There should be a first aid kit in everybody's home, and just basics. Like, if you get burnt, what do? You need to know. You can help your child. You can help yourself. Or you can help your husband. Anybody. So...
It's true. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah,
good points.
Yes. Really good.
Excellent point. Thank you, Maria. Call again, please.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Thank you, Maria, for that call. Okay. So these competitive travel leagues where nowadays kids are in sports year-round. And it has become somewhat of an arms race. If you're not playing the sport year-round, you're falling behind that kid who is playing the sport year-round. So what is driving this? Well, I was on the phone with a friend of mine who has a child who's very skilled in a certain sport, and coaches are coming to him saying this child should get into its softball, should get in on one of these year-round tournament teams that travel. The problem with that is, and I've had friends who've had children on swim teams and whatnot, He's going to be in a motel room 3 weekends out of each month, traveling around, following this. Because this, when we talk about travel team, we're not talking about going to the next town over. We're talking about going a couple hundred miles.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is big business now, these tournaments and these travel mm-hmm. leagues. This is a big industry, and it's being driven by the sporting goods companies.
Yeah.
Because you look at, again, in my day, the coach came with a, like an army duffel bag that had 3 bats, you know, a couple of moth-eaten
totally.
Helmets,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Some battered catcher's gear and a few balls, and everybody else just showed up with your glove.
Yep.
You go to the ball field now. Kids are showing up. They got a huge bag that has 2 $400 bats in there. You know, catchers bring their own full catching gear. Everybody has their own batting helmet. The amount of money that's being spent on kids' sports is what's driving this. And to me, this is no different than the pageant circuit, you know, the beauty pageant thing. These kids are losing out on their childhood by this push to be fully committed to a sport year round and to travel and to give up your weekends and your riding your bike in your neighborhood.
But I think that there's an also excessive pressure on parents. You know, there's pressure on the kids to do it, and then there's pressure on the parents to figure out how to make it happen. And I would say to you that probably about half those people, the families, have to scrape that money together to figure out how they're going to make it happen and then be there to support their child. Because while the fees, which are exorbitant enough, take care of the child, it doesn't take care of hotel stays for the rest of the family. So either you're leaving at 3 a.m. to get to where you need to go, or you have money enough to be able to stay in a hotel the night before and then show up at the field at 6:30, 7 a.m. or wherever, the court, the field, whatever. And it's ridiculous to have a scholarship program to allow kids to play. To your point, old school worked just fine. It worked just fine. And now it's like we have major leagues at such a young age. It's over the top, over the top.
It is. And I again say that it's an arms race among the parents. The kids, not as much.
Yeah.
I mean, the kids are like, man, well, you know, yeah, I like to play baseball or whatever. But it's the parents who feel this pressure of if little Johnny or Janie's not playing the sport year round, then they're not going to make, you know, then they're not going to be good enough. Then they're not going to make the high school team. Then they're not going to get their college scholarship. Then they're not going to make, you know, $20 million a year as a pro athlete. It seems like that's what's driving this whole thing when, of course, you know, 0.0001% of all children grow up to be professional athletes.
Right.
So, Coastsiders, put this in your head. Give us a call next week on this, because I need to know how other Coastside families are dealing with this arms race that is competitive travel leagues for youth sports. 560-9851. Put that in your speed dial. Call us next week because we are out of time. It's been another great episode of Coastal Windage. Ruben Truthmaker here with Livy Streetwise and Mr. Filters over there.
Have
Mr. Mojo
weekend.
Filters.
Yeah.
Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.